Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
And brethren, the points that I want to bring to our attention are matters that we must never, ever let slip from us. The idea of oneness, the idea of unity, that is a very popular subject in the world today. But we're not to confuse unity with a mere togetherness. Some years ago, the idea of togetherness was promoted by the Vatican Council. It's been promoted by many Protestant mergers of churches coming together and negotiating and adopting new rules and new beliefs and new names and drawing up new contracts to each would subscribe. And there are those that would today advocate that the Lord's church also enter into similar attitudes and similar activities to change the Lord's church to accommodate and to be more fitting and acceptable to the denominational world. This idea of being together and being united, that's quite a switch from a few years back, which many of us can well remember when we heard denominational clergymen actually extolling the idea of a multiplicity of churches and diversity because, as they said, this would give everybody the opportunity to make their own choice. They fail to realize that it's the choice that God gives man. It is not to just choose whatever way he wants as if it would be an equal benefit. The choice we have, dear people, and to put it rather bluntly, we either choose to go God's way or we choose not to. And that's the only choice that God has given us. And to have togetherness and to have a getting together is the mania of some. Rather than getting together, we should be converting our hearts and minds and lives to the will of Christ. In our world today, religiously speaking, there is a great deal of indifference toward what a person believes and practices. But so many have promoted and adopted the idea of simply being honest, being sincere, and loving one another, that's all that's necessary. And those who teach that way, when they teach about love, do not know and do not teach the biblical concept of love at all. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Amos said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So much that's going on in the religious world and among certain liberal elements of the Lord's people today, they're promoting union. They're not really promoting unity. It is called unity in diversity, which simply means unity in doctrinal diversity. It is the attitude of simply agreeing to disagree. But friend, agree to disagree is not unity. According to the Bible, that's just another propaganda idea of heresy. And there are many who are talking about getting together and having unity. It is not unity for which they work. They're working for fellowship and togetherness in spite of basic fundamental doctrinal division. And there are some misguided and digressive brethren who are promoting the idea and trying to establish the idea that we of the churches of Christ should unite with various denominations. And they're using the same kind of approach as all of these other efforts of union and togetherness to sacrifice the truth and to compromise and to surrender the authority of Christ in order to get along with other people. Well, certainly we would like to get along with all people. But friend, the way to unite is not that difficult. The way to unite is simply to accept, believe in, and follow after the biblical pattern. The pattern that the New Testament has presented to us. Just this morning, between Bible study hour and this worship period, I was asked a question, was advised concerning congregation in Nashville. And these people obviously have some concern for the one who had received advice from this congregation. This individual had been baptized into a denomination that does not teach what the Bible teaches concerning baptism, that teaches a denominational doctrine of which the Bible doesn't say one single word, that teaches that baptism is for a sign to show that you've already been saved, that it has nothing to do with salvation. And yet, this person was advised by this liberal church there in Nashville that their baptism is all right, that they don't have to do anything about it, that everything is acceptable. Friend, that's just simply not so. That's simply contrary to the will of God. And as I told these people that were mentioning this to me, and I want to say again rather sharply, those people are lying to that individual who is interested in the salvation of her soul. And they're not teaching her the truth. And when she accepts what they are telling her, she is just as lost as she was before she even inquired. Because you cannot be united with God, you can't be united with Christ, you can't be united with the Holy Spirit, you can't be united in His body by following denominational doctrines. Unity is based only upon thus saith the Lord. And unity is not going to be accomplished by simply making friends with other people. We should be friendly. And if we would have friends, we must be friendly. But we can be friendly and still not be united, as God would teach us to be united. There are those that are promoting what they call summit sessions, where they choose certain ones that they think are somewhat in the brotherhood, and they meet with representatives of denominations, not to resolve differences, but to try to establish a oneness together and an acceptance of each other in spite of differences. Friend, there can be and will be no unity until the basic fundamental differences are resolved. Unity cannot be established by simply having joint worship services, which would be wrong because you're bidding Godspeed to those who teach a doctrine different from the doctrine of Christ, John 9, 2 John 9 through 11. Unity cannot and will not be established by exchanging pulpits and exchanging teachers, and faithful brethren will never accept that kind of persuasion. Brethren, I began this lesson today by saying to you and bringing some things to us that we must not allow ever to slip from us. If we're going to be faithful to God, which is of primary importance, we cannot accommodate those who want to work for togetherness by the sacrifice of thus saith the Lord. Let's understand something. We can have union without unity. And no doubt you've heard the illustration that's used many times. You can put a dog and a cat in a tote sack and swing it over the clothesline. You've got union. But who would be so foolish as to think you've got unity? Friend, it's not the same thing. And let me caution us also. We can have unity without God. Communists are united, but they have not God. We are to be united, or can be united, and be in error. We've got to understand that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is united. The kingdom of Jesus Christ works for unity, but on the right basis. And the revelation of God's Word is the only basis upon which there can be fellowship and unity that God wants. Now, the kingdom of Christ is not Catholic, it's not Protestant, it's not Jewish. The kingdom of Christ, contrary to the doctrine of some, is the same as the church of our Lord, and that is not our theme this morning. That can be proven repeatedly, and will not belabor the point, but just simply make the point. It is the same as the church of our Lord, and unity is the plea of those who love the Lord and New Testament Christianity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, the psalmist said in Psalm 133 and verse 1. Jesus taught, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Christ taught unity. Christ prayed for unity. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." The apostles of Jesus Christ taught unity. For instance, Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." There can be no question that the kingdom of Christ upholds unity. Division is the result of sin. It is not the result of standing up for what is right. You take a body of faithful brethren in Christ. If division comes among faithful brethren, it's because somebody has departed from the truth. The result is division. Now, let's not make the mistake, however, to think that all division is necessarily sinful. It's not. Sometimes, sinful is necessary, or division is necessary to obey God. Now that may sound strange. Here the Lord taught unity, the Lord prayed for unity, the apostles taught unity, the kingdom preaches unity, the kingdom is united, and yet sometimes in order to obey God, there must be a division. Why? Because we're taught, for instance, in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Christ once said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." When there arises a situation, when there be those who put themselves or some other before Christ, those that are loyal to Christ must necessarily discontinue the unity with such people. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul said, "Now we command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition received of us." That preaches the necessity of division. Again in Romans 16:17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Who causes division among faithful brethren? It's those, as John spoke in 2 John 9-11, who teach Galatians 1:8-9, who teach a gospel different from that which Paul preached and which the early Christians had received. They are the ones that cause division. And those that recognize those that cause division and mark them and avoid them, they bring about this division, but that division is exactly what God has called for, because God does not fellowship darkness, and He does not want His people to fellowship darkness. Friend, we just got to understand the truth is the basis for unity. The gospel is the basis for unity. In Ephesians 4, Paul pointed out there are seven ones. There's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. The kingdom of Christ preaches that. The Bible teaches us there's one body, and that one body is the one church, and that one church is the one kingdom. And that one kingdom has the one king, and that one king is on the one throne, which is in heaven, Acts 7 and verse 29. And the people in that kingdom serve God under that one royal law, the law of Christ, James 2 and verse 8. There is one head, there is one shepherd, just as there is one fold. We are taught to walk by the same rule, to be of the same mind, to be of the same judgment. The kingdom is built upon the one foundation, and the one builder is Jesus the Christ. And though there be many members, there is one body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Again he said, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." These things that I'm bringing to your attention, brethren, and hear me well, for we live in a world where there is the advocacy of change of everything, and much change is necessary, much change is inevitable, there is that which does not change. Over at the Towers the other night, Brother Byers had a marvelous lesson on some things that do not change. And when we hear these people advocating change, the first thing we need to ask, change what? And change how? Because these fundamental principles that I pointed out to you here concerning unity and the unchanging kingdom will not change. We may change from them. We may abandon them. We may adopt what suits people in the world, but these things will not, do not change. There is a gospel that can be perverted, but it is a perverted gospel. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Again he said in Philippians 2 and verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." I've already read to you what Paul said to the church in Corinth. Paul wrote in Colossians 3 and verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, the phrase "in the name of" simply means "by the authority of." If I do something in your name, I must have your authority for it. If you do something in my name, you must have my authority for it. And what we do in serving God, we must have the authority of Jesus Christ. That's not going to change. And if one comes along and brings not the gospel of Christ, that is the gospel of which he is the author, we are not to bid him Godspeed. We cannot, and obey God, continue to have fellowship with those that teach a perverted gospel. Now that's as fundamental and plain and as clear as the steps into salvation. And we must always obey that. And keep in mind, Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak how? As the oracles of God. And when people come along here and begin to speak to accommodate the denominational world, of which the Bible says not one word of authority, to accommodate the sins of people, to make it more palatable and acceptable to a degenerate society, as ours is becoming more and more in such fashion, then he is not speaking as the oracles of God. The point is this: unity demands agreement and acceptance of the Word of God. That's the point, brethren, we can never turn loose of. It demands conformity to sound doctrine. It's distressing to me that the president of Abilene Christian University has made a big speech that's gone all over the brotherhood, that unity does not necessarily mean conformity to believing the same things. Unity and diversity, that's a lie. That's false doctrine. held up by a leader of people who are supposedly teaching our young people how to get an education in a Christian environment. And they're teaching them doctrines, and not just there. You don't have to go over about 75 miles and you've got the same thing right down here in Davidson County, brethren. At the school down there, David Lipscomb University, the same sort of ideas being propagated. Listen, you send your children to a Christian school, you beware. They're as liable to be taught heresy as they are truth. And I know whereof I speak. And you're going to have to be on top of things with your precious young. Now you can handle it. You can deal with it. You can inoculate them against it. You can show them the difference, but you sure better do it. Because they're going to be impressed with these PhDs and these people who have been on the certain chair for 10, 15, 20 years in teaching. They'll be impressed by that. It's going to be popular. It's in this wave of togetherness that the whole society seems to be enamored with. And you better be careful or they will subvert your precious young. Unity will not allow additions to the Word of God. Unity will not allow subtractions. Unity will not allow differences where God has spoken. Now, in matters of indifference, in matters of human judgment, we know there's unity and diversity, always has been, always upheld that. But not where thus saith the Lord is involved. Now, adhering to these truths is often branded as being legalistic, unloving, self-righteous, judgmental. Brethren, let me ask you, what is more loving than to love God's truth before anything and everybody else? What's more loving than that? Please tell me. What is more judgmental than condemning those who love the truth more than anything else? What is more divisive than false doctrines? And what is more legalistic than making some man's doctrine superior to the doctrines of God? We have to realize what this criticism is against the church today. It is the massive effort, energetic effort, of dethroning Christ and enthroning man. Brethren, that's the chief cornerstone of the philosophy that's called humanism. Man is the most. Do your own thing. What suits you? What do you like? How do you feel? That's not the teaching of the Word of God. Now, we certainly cannot accurately calculate the destructiveness of division. It alienates brethren from each other. It creates confusion. It causes division in the home. I like the little story about the little boy one Sunday, the little boy and the little girl. Mother and the little girl go off to one church. Father and the little boy go off to another church. And the little boy was heard to say, "I wish God had only made one church so we could go together." Well, let me tell you, folks, God did make one church, and we ought to go together. And He didn't make a single denomination that ever has, does, or ever shall exist. But He did establish His church. The wastefulness of division, the duplicity in division, the waste of resources and manpower, and division cultivates the soil for the seeds of atheism. You read the startling, amazing, agonizing statistics of our society. Killing unborn babies by the millions. Riots when you don't get your way. Unwed pregnancies. Teenage crime. Violation of law. Every form of depravity being spread before people in an acceptable manner from the highest echelons of government to the lowest into the ghetto. Why is that? There's a reason for it. We have lost, as a society, respect for the authority of God. And one of the major contributing factors to that is the religious division that is in our society. This multiculturalism has been spurred to the idea that whatever anybody wants, that's okay. It looks like anybody that could see through a ladder could see that that brings nothing but chaos and conflict and anarchy, and that's exactly what it produces. And it causes people to deny that God even exists. It erodes religious and moral values. Someone has said, and I hate to think that it's true, but you have to be persuaded that it is true. The voice of religion, the voice of what they call the church, and they include just about anything, not just what the Bible does, just about anything, is almost mute in our society. Who cares and who's paying any attention to what religious people are saying? Very, very few. You know why? Religious people can't get their house in order. They're so hopelessly divided one from another because there will not be a subjection to the will of God. But everybody wants to do what they want to do. How destructive that is. And then on top of that, we've got this problem. Those who would preach, such as I'm trying to preach to you this morning, those of you who would hold firm to the faith, you're accused of not having the Spirit of Christ. Let's understand something about Christ. Christ came to this earth to save mankind. He came to this earth to establish His kingdom. He was rejected and crucified. But Christ stood unchanging regarding the establishment of His kingdom. Christ has stood unchanging as to His mission to this earth to seek and save the lost. He has stood unchanging in His plan of salvation. He is unchanging in His promises to mankind. He is unchanging in His warnings to mankind. He is unchanging in what He expects of us. And He is unchanging in His desire for unity based upon the foundation of truth. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, Paul urged brethren to speak the truth in love. Two words there we would emphasize, truth and love. Brethren, it is not love to fail to speak the truth. And it is not truth to fail to love. It is not love to ignore sin and to ignore doctrinal error. It is love when you will follow the truth. It is not truth or love to make an effort to change the kingdom of Jesus Christ to accommodate the ways of sin or to accommodate the religions of men. It ought to be obvious to anybody that's keeping up with half what's going on in the world that our age is beset with a multiplicity of problems. And it may seem that they are multiplying rather than being solved. The Lord's church in every age has been set with problems also, not only with the world, but internally. Our day is no different from other days, as far as that goes. But brethren, here's the point. This is our watch. We are God's watchmen now. We are God's soldiers. It's our time. We are the ones that are on duty. Regardless of how successful or how unsuccessful those of the past may or may not have been, that's somewhat irrelevant. Regardless of what may come after us, though our interests are much concerned, that's somewhat irrelevant. This is our watch. And how are we going to handle it? You recall when Mordecai came to Esther. She had the opportunity to save her people from being destroyed by the brutal Persians. She was in a position where she could do something about it. And she was having to be persuaded to do what she could. And Mordecai asked her, "Who but knows that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Brethren, we can be thankful we live when we do. If the church is racked with problems, and it is. If our world is diseased with sin, and it is. We can be thankful we live now because we have the opportunity to serve God even in a difficult day and to continue to uphold what's right in this world. Who but knows? Through God's providence, you are privileged to live today in the heat of the battle rather than to be at ease in Zion. Those who are liberal, those who are humanly legalistic, they always have caused trouble to the unchanging kingdom of Christ and to the unity which it upholds. Division is a powerful weapon in the arsenal of the devil. Sometimes he was placed in his hands by those who are in the kingdom. But we must stand united, brethren, even as we are now in this congregation. And we must stand on the truth, even as we're determined to do in this congregation. And while our concerns rest everywhere throughout the world as to what others may do, our first concern will always be where we are. And we must stand hand in hand, heart in heart, shoulder to shoulder, mind in mind, on thus saith the Lord, may it ever be. We cannot afford to let such things as that slip. And such lessons as this, you might say, well, we're united, why preach on it? So we'll stay that way. So we'll always know where the truth is. So we'll always keep our eye on the goal and watching by the standard. That's why. But there's a glorious blessing awaiting, brethren. This unchanging kingdom of Jesus Christ in its unity, someday, being the kingdom of Christ, will be delivered to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. And those in that kingdom will be delivered to the Father. And those that are not in that kingdom won't be delivered to the Father. But upon being delivered to the Father, we shall live eternally with God. The basic truth then I hold before you today that we hold too staunchly and steadfastly, the unchanging kingdom of Christ. Unity based on truth. That's God's will. And we can gain citizenship into this great and glorious and grand spiritual kingdom of Christ by obeying the gospel of Christ and thereby taking advantage of what God has provided. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. That's God's plan for saving man as far as man's part is concerned. God having provided the way, we must come the way that He has provided. And we would persuade you to look toward this unchanging kingdom that's on its way to eternal glory in heaven, and to be a part of it, be a laborer in it, be a citizen in it, be a servant of Christ, and look to our everlasting King, Jesus the Christ, as our Lord and Savior. You might have turned your back on the Lord's church and His kingdom, and you need to be restored, and you know you do. And you know you have that desire down deep in your heart. You just simply need to let it bear fruit. You need to come. You need to be restored through repentance, confession, and prayer like the Bible teaches us to be. You need to stand with faithful brethren for what is right all the remaining days of your life. God provides you that opportunity. We would plead with you to take advantage of what He offers. As together we stand and sing the song softly and tenderly, this is the plea of Christ. Won't you come?